that I think you'll find interesting, and that is usury. In the old days, the biblical times, usury was defined as interest on a loan. Any interest on any loan was usury. Well, in modern times, that's been redefined to mean excessive interest on a loan, not moderate interest, because, this is in keeping with the concept that if we work hard for our money, we save our money, we don't spend it, we sacrifice its pleasure, and we loan it to somebody for their venture, we're entitled to a reasonable return for that sacrifice. A reasonable interest seems fair and logical to most people. But what is this thing, excessive interest? Thomas Edison said, "People who will not turn a shovelful of dirt on the project, nor contribute a pound of materials, will collect more money than will the people who will supply all the materials and do all the work." I wondered about that when I read it. I thought, was Tom exaggerating? So I got my calculator out and I punched in the numbers. I took, for an example, a $100,000 house to be built. I assumed the $30,000 was going to go for the land and the architect's fees and the permits. That $70,000 would go for the actual construction of the house, the labor and the materials. I assumed that the buyer would go to the bank, put 20% down, take out a 30-year loan at 10% interest. I punched in the numbers, and I found out that the borrower will pay to the bank in interest $172,741 as compared to $70,000 paid for those who did all the labor and did all the work. In other words, the bank will earn 2.5 times as much money as those who produced. You may say, well, yes, but don't forget the time value of money. When you save money and you sacrifice its use, and 30 years is a long period of time and all this. No, not this money, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody worked for this money. Nobody sacrificed. Nobody saved it. This money was created out of nothing. And I suggest that $172,741 interest on nothing is excessive. I think it's time for a new definition of the word usury. Any interest on any loan of fiat money, meaning money made out of nothing. Now, this example of a $100,000 house, I should point out to you, is a grain of sand in the Sahara. This is nothing. You have to multiply this process by every house in America, by every hotel in America, every high-rise office building in America, every jet airplane, every automobile, every factory, every warehouse full of materials, every farm building, all the farm equipment. And you are talking about a river of unearned wealth perpetually flowing into the banking cartel that is so wide that you can't even think across it in your mind. The numbers are beyond comprehension. Where is this money going? You get the mental picture that maybe it's going into a big lake someplace. There's a big dam and it's building up. All this money is accumulating and these people are getting richer and richer and richer. Wrong. Doesn't work that way. When a person has all the wealth that he can possibly want, or use for the pleasures of life, what is left? Power. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, they're spending this money, this river of wealth is being used to acquire power over you and me and our children. They are literally buying up the world with it. And I don't mean they're buying up the real estate and the hardware. They're buying up control over the organizations, the institutions through which people live and act and rely on for leadership and opinion. Technically, in sociological terms, this is called a power center. These are the power centers of society, the groups through which people work. And this is where that money has been going, is to acquire control over these groups and institutions by buying up influence and control over the people who run them. And they're spending the money on that. That means that they're buying up politicians, political parties, television networks, cable networks, newspapers, magazines, publishing houses, wire services, motion picture studios, universities, labor unions, church organizations, trade associations, tax-exempt foundations, multinational corporations, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, you name it. Any group, any institution which exercises influence has been a target for control, and they have a lot of money to spend to acquire that control. Especially those organizations and individuals which supposedly are in opposition to themselves.
You could print $1 billion tomorrow. Well, you could be a master of the universe. But you can't, because they have the monopoly. As long as they can print the money, as long as they can buy the New York Times, the Washington Post, congressmen, senators, presidents, then you can't compete against them. What have you got to offer?
If you have relatively few people governing your government, you don't have a democratic government, do you? You've got a secret cabal here who is governing the United States. And not just the United States, but the governments of England and France, Germany, all the European countries. Less influence in Japan, but quite a bit there too. So it's a conspiracy against the people of the United States and of the Western world. What would you call it?
Are the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the people in their sphere of influence the masters of the universe? Let's put it this way. They want to be the masters of the universe, but there are a lot of people who don't want them to be.
They create money out of nothing. What a scam. They have so much money, they don't care about money. All they care about is power. All they care about is being able to control the political situation so it goes their way. But they still have not been able to succeed in America because of the wealth and the independence and the patriotic spirit of the American middle class.
In 1775, the American Revolutionary War began as the American colonies sought to detach from England and its oppressive monarchy. Though many reasons are cited for the revolution, one in particular sticks out as the prime cause, that King George III of England outlawed the interest-free, independent currency the colonies were producing and using for themselves, in turn forcing them to borrow money from the Central Bank of England at interest, immediately putting the colonies into debt. And, as Benjamin Franklin later wrote, "The refusal of King George III to allow the colonies to operate an honest money system which freed the ordinary man from the clutches of the money manipulators was probably the prime cause of the revolution." In 1783, America won its independence from England. However, its battle against the central bank concept and the corrupt, greed-filled men associated with it had just begun. So what is a central bank? A central bank is an institution that produces the currency of an entire nation. Based on historical precedent, two specific powers are inherent in central banking practice: the control of interest rates and the control of the money supply, or inflation. The central bank does not simply supply a government's economy with money, it loans it to them at interest. Then, through the use of increasing and decreasing the supply of money, the central bank regulates the value of the currency being issued. It is critical to understand that the entire structure of this system can only produce one thing in the long run: debt. It doesn't take a lot of ingenuity to figure this scam out, for every single dollar produced by the central bank is loaned at interest. That means every single dollar produced is actually the dollar plus a certain percent of debt based on that dollar. And since the central bank has the monopoly over the production of the currency for the entire country, and they loan each dollar out with immediate debt attached to it, where does the money to pay for the debt come from? It can only come from the central bank again, which means the central bank has to perpetually increase its money supply to temporarily cover the outstanding debt created, which in turn, since that new money is loaned out at interest as well, creates even more debt. The end result of this system without fail is slavery, for it is impossible for the government and thus the public to ever come out of the self-generating debt. The founding fathers of this country were well aware of this.
On the back of the dollar bill, you'll see the symbol on the left-hand side of the bill, which is annuit coeptus, which means our enterprise is now a success, or our enterprise is crowned with success. Annuit coeptus. So you say, fine, so you have an enterprise and is now crowned with success. What enterprise are you talking about? Novas ordo seclorum. Novas is novas, meaning new. Ordo is order, and seclorum is where we get the word secular, meaning the world. So it's new order of the world, the new world order. George Bush's new world order is now a success.
Bill, you've heard an awful lot of dramatic speeches and seen dramatic moments in times of great gravity for the nation. How would you assess this evening?
This was a stirring address, in my view. Shorter than his father's speech when he announced the new world order. Shorter than his father's speech when he announced the new...
It is in our hands to leave these dark machines behind, the dark ages where they belong, to press forward to cap a historic movement towards a new world order and a long era of peace. Listen to the leader of the United States Senate, George Mitchell, Saddam Hussein would be in Saudi Arabia and you'd be paying 20 bucks a gallon for gasoline. Now try that one on for size.
World order.
Hey,
1934 is when the Federal Reserve actually finally took total control of the United States monetary system, and that's when they said it is now a success, because this is a symbol, this is an emblem of a secret society of Freemasons called the Illuminati, the German Bavarian Illuminati. They were a secret society founded in the south of Germany. They were called the Illuminati, the Illuminated Ones, the Enlightened Ones. Annuit coeptus, novus ordo seclorum, and that was in 1774 that the Bavarian Illuminati drew up their plans for what they were going to do in America and how they were going to do it. The triangle at the top with the light emanating from around it is Horus. The god of the ancient Egyptians, of course, this is an Egyptian pyramid. You don't find pyramids in America. You find them in Egypt. And that pyramid is the symbol of the eye, was in the Egyptian religion, Horus, which was the newborn sun. Every morning when the sun came up, his name was Horus. There was that was the solar divinity in Egypt. Horus was God's son, the light of the world, who is risen. He is our risen Savior, our risen. And so Horus was referred to as God's son, and that's why the light is emanating from around, because it's the sun. The sun is a round eyeball of God, the ancient Egyptians believed. The pupil of God, was the sun, and he's watching you. And therefore, the sun was very bright, and so today we even say someone who is extremely intelligent is brilliant. They're bright. And that's why God is, of course, the most brilliant of all. Therefore, the sun is the most brilliant, because it's God's eye. All right, anyway, there are 13 layers on the pyramid. And the 1776 at the bottom is 1776. A lot of people think it's because of the country being founded in 1776. It has nothing to do with that. As I said, this is on a document published back in 1774, 75, and then in 1776, the Roman numerals appeared on it in Europe. So what it amounted to is that the 1776 was when this secret society actually formed itself into a secret society and put itself into operation. They were the basis for what we call today in our country the Bavarian Illuminati was the basis for what we call today the Colombian faction. The Colombian faction of the Illuminati came here right after this government was formed. And that's where we get today, this Columbia Space Shuttle, Columbia Movies, Columbia Television, you know, Columbia Records, everything, Columbia University. As a matter of fact, Columbia TV, Columbia Broadcasting System, CBS. What is the symbol for CBS? It's the all-seeing eye. And that's why our government is in the District of Columbia, because these guys own our government. They print our money, and they own not only the government, but they own you. You are their property. So, in other words, these guys print the money, they run the country, and they own you, and they own everything around it. And so they make the laws, and that's why they can decide who can kill who, and who can get away with who, and who can get away with whatever, because they make the laws, and they decide. All right. As I said to you before, there are 13 layers in this pyramid. There are 13 letters in Annuit Coeptus, but 13 is a very important number to this secret society. The 13 stripes, the 13 stars here, which make up the Star of David, the 13 berries, the 13 leaves, 13 arrows, the 32 feathers here and 33 feathers there. Everything is done in sequence of 13. 13, of course, is based on, this is what we call Masonic symbolism. Freemasons designed this dollar bill. Everything is done in sequence of 13, and again, I draw your attention to the fact that you have 13 stars here, which collectively make up the Star of David. There's a reason why. On the $1 bill at the top, you'll see this little image right here. But if you blow it up from an actual photograph, you'll see it as it's a little owl. It's a symbol of the Bohemian Society. The Bohemian Society meets in California on the last 2 weeks of July of every year. I have pictures showing all of the presidents, all of the living presidents, excluding the new one, but all of the living presidents at the Bohemian Grove in Northern California, and they're all wearing red and black Ku Klux Klan dress type of regalia, like a Ku Klux Klaner's, with the pointed headdress and everything. And, I mean, that's quite a sight to see presidents dressed like Ku Klux Klan members, right? And they're standing in front of a big open pit of fire, and behind them is about a 20 to 25 foot owl behind them. And the article in Elm magazine and Time magazine, I've got two or three different magazines showing basically the same pictures. It says that the presidents meet with all of the heads of industry throughout the world, all of the heads of state throughout the world, and all of the most important wheeler dealers in this country, and they all meet up in Northern California, and they have rituals where they go before the owl after midnight. And then what a picture you got, with all the presidents dressed up like Ku Klux Klaners with black and red robes on before an owl. And these are your presidents of this country. And the reason why they chose the owl is because the owl is a symbol used in Europe by secret societies, because the owl is wise, because it sees things in the dark. The implication is, of course, that's why they are where they are, because they're very brilliant and they know things that you don't know.